Hey, folks, how's it going out there? I've got something for you today. Yeah, I've got a podcast. Obviously, you know that because you're here. Today's guest is Andrea, but she and her husband, Lee Valley, started a company. Shift Happens Global is a transformative coaching company. So what they do is they help mainly teenagers, but this could really be for anyone. And, you know, the thing is, a lot of us often look at ourselves and we criticize ourselves more than what others really do. So what does that mean? That means that we are our own worst critic. But there are ways of getting around that, ways of shifting your mind and helping yourself. So I hope you listen to this podcast and get something out of this. But also remember, if you are a pet owner, please be responsible and have your pets spayed or neutered. Hey, before we actually get into it, you're going to hear Andrea talk a little bit about her humble beginnings. And I say humble beginnings because it's something that a lot of us aspire to do, become, dream about, all of the above. And what am I talking about? You know, sometimes it's to be an athlete, it's to be an actor, an actress, or a musician. So if you recognize her, that's because she has been on tour with Salt and Pepper, Freddie Jackson, Crystal Waters, and probably many, many more. But she's going to tell us a little bit about that, about, as I said, her humble beginnings, and then we're really going to get right into the meat and potatoes of everything. So enjoy it. All right, if you're ready, let's do it.
Like I said in the very beginning, and you mentioned, you had your 15 minutes of fame. Quite the ride there.
Yeah, I mean, it was a tiny little ride, but I definitely felt it. You know, I did get to meet Salt and Pepper, you know, back in the day, and lots of neat people, Crystal Waters, Freddie Jackson, like High Five. And at the time, they were big names, so it was, like, exciting to meet them. And I will tell you, Salt and Pepper were absolutely lovely, like, absolutely lovely. And it was a really neat experience. And at that time, you're put on a soapbox. Like, I felt like I couldn't actually be who I wanted to be because I needed to be the person that they thought would be marketable. And I actually had my big, oh, I can't do this anymore, when I was being shopped around, and the person, the producer who was shopping my material, we had a what's called a showcase set up. And it was like the night before the showcase, we found out that my producer who was shopping us, or he wasn't my producer, he was the person who was shopping us, me, had gone into a drug rehab, and which is fine, but just disappeared. It was like everything just fell apart. And at that point in my life, I didn't know what to do with that. It was like the person who was like leading me suddenly was gone. And there was just, you know, and for me, I was like, wait a minute, I can't handle this crazy up and down, because that's what it was. You know, we had a development deal with RCA and he turned it down because he thought you could do better. I've got Atlantic here. And then obviously I never got to do that showcase. So it was a lot of running around, a lot of, you know, we're going to put you here and then here doesn't happen. And I felt like, you know, all I wanted to do was sing. I loved being on the stage. I loved musical theater. My degree is actually in classical music. So that was my happy place. And I was finding it very difficult to sit in that happiness and that joy of music. I loved when I was performing because I love music. But that that essence wasn't the essence that was occurring when you're trying to be in the business, kind of thing. So it sort of swiped that joy from me. So, it all happened for a reason. And I look at it now, like, what a gift, because I've had a lot of experience on stage. So I'm super comfortable chatting on a podcast. I'm super comfortable up on stage. I'm super comfortable on TV. And I feel like because I've had that experience in my life, being able to talk about what I find is the most important conversation you could ever possibly have is easy for me to do. So I look at it, to me, that's where it makes sense.
Yeah, and like you were saying too, it's you are forced in a way to have this persona and not be who you are, which today I think a lot of teens go through that. They're putting on a persona of not who they are, who they want to be, or who they truly are. They're trying to be something that they think that somebody else wants them to be like. And I think one of the worst things, or the one of the strongest critics, is ourselves. We may look at somebody who's a budgeting star or a star and say, oh my gosh, that's what I want to be like. Yet not realizing all we are doing, or all that teen is doing, is taking the one aspect of that one individual and saying, that's what I want to be like, and not knowing the rest of it.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, if we're looking outside of ourselves for approval, we're looking in the wrong direction, and we're sort of hypnotized to look in that direction, to think that, you know, especially for kids, that, you know, we're judged on how many likes we have, or how many followers, or who's watching our TikTok. And, you know, there's so much pressure on kids today in their minds. You know, it's not really there.
Yes.
It's in their minds, because again, you know, we don't suffer because of the world. We suffer because of our thinking about the world. So whatever we choose to focus on grows. And if our focus is on, I won't be okay until that happens, we're always going to be chasing our tail. So to me, that's like the number one, you know, red alert problem, is that kids are not learning that their foundation is innately within them. And from that foundation, if they want to go be a superstar, be a TikTok star or a YouTube star, that's fantastic. But if you don't have that foundation, you're building something on quicksand. It will never stick, and you'll always be in a space of lack.
It sounds like we're already talking about shift happens. So, this is actually what I wanted to lead into, is your organization, Shift Happens, and it's shifthappens.global. Yes. And you work a lot with teens, don't you?
Yes, I have a very special spot in my heart for little nuggets for teens. I just love teens. I love young adults. I mean, I love everybody. I'm a people person. I always have been. I love connection. I love connection. And I see so much, I get so much joy out of inspiring our youth, especially, to see what they're actually made of, because we're not taught that. You know, from 0 to 7, we're sponges. We come out of the womb, we're in the theta state, which is the state of hypnosis. So we're just taking in everything. And unless you're brought up in an environment where you are told how innately amazing you are no matter what, you don't know that. And you're being pulled away from your essence. You know, you're constantly being judged and compared and these kinds of things. So that's the foundation that we have. What we do is we show teens, families, humans, you know, how to actually use the system, the physics behind our psychology. Because when you understand how you work, you're going to use your mind to your advantage, you know, rather than using it as your worst enemy, which unfortunately in the world, we're sort of trained to do that, because we're just being pulled in so many different directions. And we're not pointing inside, which is where our natural well-being is, which is where our natural happiness is, which is the only thing that we can actually truly rely on. And we really can rely on it. And what's amazing is all boats rise with the tide. So the better we feel, the better our life gets, the better the people around us feel. You know, that's where change happens. It doesn't happen from gaining something on the outside. Although there's nothing wrong with that. That's fun. But you want to do that from a space of understanding.
Yeah. Do you think that, like I said, the theta stage, that 0 to 7-ish time frame, it's my thinking when you said that is, I know a lot of parents with their kids in that age, they say these words, don't, stop, and no, which I think are really detrimental. I won't say harmful, but detrimental, because you reach for something, don't. Okay, you go to do something, stop. And then pretty soon when you get older, you start either doubting, or you put yourself into that, well, I can't, or I'm not supposed to. Now you're doubting yourself. Am I making sense with that, or is that kind of crazy? Because I don't have, but that's what I'm thinking.
Here's the thing. Kids need rules and boundaries. They absolutely need them. That's how they learn. You know, I'll never forget, my mom was cooking in the kitchen. I was little, maybe I was 4. And she opened up a can and she put it in the garbage, and she could see, I was like fascinated with the can opener and how she opened the can. She said, Andy, don't touch that. Don't touch that. You're going to cut yourself. So what did Andy do? Went into the garbage can, got a cut, had to go to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. I didn't listen to my mom. But here's what I'm going to tell you, is that we don't learn by what somebody teaches us. We actually learn through experience. So I learned through that experience. But kids do need rules and boundaries, but what they need even more than that is for the parent to allow them to learn on their own. You know, they need boundaries. We need boundaries. We need to learn, you know, don't touch that. Don't put your hand on the stove. But more importantly, we need to know that we do have wisdom within us. And that's where parents can innocently go wrong, because they're trying to protect their kids so much that they're not teaching their kids to use their own intuition, to trust their gut, trust their instincts, you know, and that's really how we roll. We roll by paying attention to our instincts. That's how we get along in the world, is by paying attention to our instincts.
I should have clarified my don't stop and that thing was when parents just say that and nothing else. Like you said, with your mom, she said, you know, don't touch that. You're going to cut yourself. You're going to get hurt. A lot of times parents just don't, or stop or no. And then that's all. There's no explanation.
But to your point, what you're saying is where parents make a mistake. And I believe that's what you were sharing, was if they just don't even let the kid have a chance. You know, it's like if a kid falls, you know, you don't want to make a big deal about it. You want to make light of it, because we recover. You know, little toddlers are running around, they're falling all the time. And if you make that a big deal, then they think it's a big deal. You know, you want to teach them you're resilient. You have a cut, your cut's going to heal, you know? But of course, you want to teach them rules and boundaries. You know, you're not going to let them run in the street. But there's a balance there. There's a balance there.
So we started off, or at least I did, running. So I'm going to say, all right, time to slow down and ask you really, what is this mind shift? Shift happens. Is it a mind shift, or what is the foundation? What do you do? What's your goal or mission statement type of thing?
Well, you know, our goal is to help people understand how to use their natural abilities to their best advantage. So we want to show people how to use the system. So what I mean by that is, you're driving a car, your check engine light goes on, okay? You don't roll down your window, listen to me, I'm so old school, and yell at the guy in the car next to you and say, hey, check your engine light, right? You check your own engine light. But in the world, when we have a problem, a lot of times we say, it's your fault. I'm not happy because I didn't get the promotion. I'm not happy because you didn't make dinner. I'm not happy because you left the socks on the floor, right? So what we're doing is we're giving away our power. We're saying my happiness is reliant on something outside of me. So what we do is we teach people actually the operating system of how we work, so you have a better understanding of how to use what you have to your advantage. When you see that everything that we experience is a mirror of what we are feeling on the inside, you're going to stop trying to fix the outside, because it's like going to a movie and you don't like the movie and you're running up to the screen trying to change what's going on the screen. That's not where the movie's being projected from. The movie's being projected through the projector. So we want to show you, you are the projector. Innocently, you might not realize this, but if you're running around with a tape playing in your mind about your inadequacies, your imperfections, where, you know, your unworthiness, the world will mirror that to you. And you'll think it's the world's fault. So what we do is, the first thing we do is show them this foundation that you're already perfectly perfect. You may have some stories going on that tell you different, but that's not actually what's true. And we show them the operating system, why we're perfect. We come out of the womb perfectly perfect. We just start learning that there's things that are wrong with us. So we get back to the essence, get back to our spiritual nature, right? We are spiritual beings. Yeah. That's just fact. And quantum physics proves it. Okay, so this is no longer woo-woo. And this is not a woo-woo conversation. This is a very realistic, how do we use our operating system to our advantage conversation. We can go all woo-woo if you want, and I can deeply go there. But what our mission is to teach people how to use this magical operating system that we have to their advantage, so that we can be in the world but not be an effect of what's going on. Because we cannot control the crazy. And here's the other thing that I'll tell you that I'm super passionate about. All boats rise with the tide. And that's why your energy, your peace of mind, your well-being is the most important thing on the planet. Because as we feel better, as our energy gets better, as our consciousness, our awareness raises, All boats rise with the tide. That's just how it goes. It's a law. It's a universal law. It's like gravity. We can't control gravity. It is what it is. Like I'm not going to suddenly pick up my iPhone and think, well, maybe if I drop it, it'll float today, because I understand gravity and I use it to my advantage. Well, it's the same with energy. You know, everything has a vibration to it. And like attracts like. So if you're in a really good energy, you're going to start to notice, oh my God, suddenly everybody wants to hire me. Suddenly everybody wants to be with me. Suddenly, you know, I'm getting first in line. I don't have to wait in lines anymore. People are calling me to the front. You're the person at the grocery store who's in the long line. And then the clerk opens up the next, you know, area or whatever, at the next register, and they say, come on, you're next. Like, you're that person. And it's so possible to be that person, even when you're in traffic, even when you're not getting along with your spouse, you know, even when something that you don't like happens, it's possible to remember that it's momentary and that you can get back to a good feeling. You can get back to a better vibration. You can get back, you know, we call it in the green, in a really good state of mind, in the zone. And life gets better as a result of that. And you'll just find that you start attracting people into your life as well that are on the same page as you. So it just gets better, 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 better. It's not that we don't have a bad day, but we know the bad day is temporary. And we know that our truth is being in the zone.
You know, a couple of things that you said throughout what you're just telling all of us is, one, I don't know if I'll call it profound, but maybe it is profound for some, but it's very thought provoking when you said, this isn't exactly how you put it, but when you start putting blame or pointing towards others for your failures or whatever it may be, you are giving them control. That's how I understood it, that you're giving them control. And what do we want in our life? We always say we're stingy. We want to be in control. So why give away the control by saying, oh, it's your fault that I wasn't able to do this. It's your fault that I wasn't able to finish that. No, take responsibility, take ownership. And that is only going to make you better and stronger. The other thing too, is you're so absolutely right. If you wear a smile on your face, you attract those other smiles. You attract all that good feeling, and anything that's bad is really temporary. So we just have to realize and go, it's because I stubbed my toe, it's not going to ruin my entire day. And I'm not going to put a frown on my face and be angry about, the brick being on the ground. No, shift happens. It's temporary.
Yes, it is. It's all temporary, and we get to choose what we focus on. What we focus on grows. We can't help that. That's just the way the world works, right? It's science, right? What we focus on grows. That's just common sense. You know that in your own life. You know, if you have a problem and then you get distracted, usually the problem solves itself and you're like, oh, that was cool. I didn't even give it any attention and it seemed to work itself out. That's the way the world works. It's what are we giving importance to? So you want to give importance to looking in the direction that feels good. It sounds very airy-fairy, but it's not, because that's how we work. And when you're feeling good, you're going to do better at your job. You're going to be a better parent. You're going to be a better spouse. You're going to be a better friend. So doesn't it make sense to make your well-being, your happiness, your peace of mind, the most important thing on the planet?
Yeah. Let me ask you, I'm going to use teenagers. Can I call them kids?
Yeah, absolutely. They're kids.
I'm going to use kids as an example. And a lot of times kids wake up and they're not in the best of moods. You know, they wake up because I got to go to school, this and that, whatever, most of them. So how would you suggest to a kid to start their day off really good?
That's a great question. First of all, one thing I want to clarify is it's not the parent's job to change their kid's mood. So that's just one thing that I want to quantify, actually. And because I love that you asked the question for kids. Well, the first thing is that if you wake up and you're in a bad mood, it is a farce. Okay. It's the ego trying to play up on you. Anytime. And I always tell kids, if it's helpful, if what you're thinking is helpful, keep it. If it's hurtful, delete it. Okay. Because the essence of who you are, which is love, that's what we're made of. Okay. would never say anything nasty about you. So if the story that's running in your mind is a negative story, delete it. You don't need to keep it, okay? If it's hurtful, delete it. If it's helpful, you want to keep it, okay? So the first thing that I would say is breathe and center yourself. And I teach this to kids all the time. You want to create coherence within the body. So you want to create brain and heart coherence. You want to get in touch with your heart. Your heart communicates with your brain 10 times more than your brain communicates with your heart. So it makes sense to get really friendly with your heart, to be really in touch with your heart. So when we breathe, we have this natural system to ignite our rest and relax, which is our parasympathetic nervous system. Our sympathetic nervous system is the one that goes crazy, right? That's the one that we get all hyper. We feel awful. Our sympathetic nervous system's like when we're in fight or flight, right? So if you wake up and you're in a really bad mood, most likely you have not engaged your parasympathetic, and it's really simple. You just want to breathe in through the nose. When you breathe in through the nose and focus on the breath and allow the exhale to be a little bit longer, an extended breath, just do that for 30 seconds if that's all you can take, right? Just for 30 seconds. Breathe and focus on the breath. It's going to naturally calm down your thinking because we're always at the mercy of whatever we're thinking, right? So if we just take a nice deep breath and get heart-centered, we're going to have a much better chance of automatically changing our mood. So that's the first place that you want to start, you know?
You know, so what our friends used to tell us and say to us, take three breaths and chill.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Take those three breaths.
Yeah. And there's science behind it. And I think, you know, once people actually see that there's science behind something, once you have an understanding, you're much more likely to do it. But, you know, anybody can go, you know, Google the Heart Math Institute, and it will explain, you know, creating coherence between heart and mind and the importance of it and what it does to your physicality. But yeah, it makes sense to do that. And then also you want to think of something that you're grateful for and not like, I'm grateful, and shove it down your throat, but really think about, you know, what's one thing I can be grateful for? Well, I woke up, you know, like you can find one thing. Maybe you have a pet, you know, maybe you're grateful that you did your homework. Maybe you're grateful that, you know, that you've got some breakfast. Maybe you're grateful that you're going to see your best friend, you know, maybe you're just grateful that you have the ability to get up and, you know, walk yourself to the restroom. Like, we can always find something to be grateful for. Maybe you're grateful for your bed, for a good night's sleep. That's another thing. It really makes a difference where our focus is. Where's your focus?
You said sleep, and sleep is important too.
It's important to me, I'll tell you that.
Hey, I hear it's important for everything. Again, I said that I wanted to focus on kids, but what you're talking about, what we are having a conversation about, goes for
universal.
Everyone. It doesn't matter what your age is. It's universal. Yeah. But focuses kids, really. The reason I really want to focus on that is so many kids are having a hard time now. And it doesn't matter about the COVID or anything like that. It's just that they are having a very difficult time.
Yeah. They're so distracted. There's so many distractions. It just was not this way when I was growing up. It was very simple. You came home from school, and unless somebody called you on the phone, you didn't know what was going on. But now we just have contact. And it's so distracting. So no wonder their minds are so busy. You know, no wonder their minds are so full. No wonder they're constantly, there's so much anxiety. I mean, that's the big thing when I work with kids. There's so much anxiety.
Yes. It's so difficult, like you said, for them to focus now, because they are constantly, they're plugged in and they're being bombarded. And we're at the point now where, even though if you are a kid or, you know, an adult, and we say we want to unplug, it is still so difficult because you have that FOMO.
Yes.
You have that fear of missing out.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a real
thing.
It is.
It is. And you almost feel guilty. It's like, if I don't get back to somebody, they're going to think I'm, you know, I'm not responsible. You know, it's a thing.
It is so true. I mean, we'll hear our phones ring, whatever, or message makes it the most dangerous part is the kids who are driving and they hear ding or the phone, they feel as though they have to answer it.
Because they don't want to, you're right, they don't want to miss out.
Yep. Yeah. And like you said, the other thing too, first, they don't want to miss out. Second is they don't, I think some of them don't want their friends or whoever to think that they're ignoring them, even though we do that to ignore them anyhow. We pick and choose these things, but it seems like I don't know if there's a right and the wrong, but definitely the wrong is don't do it while you're driving.
That's for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you can even put the phone like in the trunk, you know what I mean? Like somehow, so it's not around so that you're not distracted in that sense. I mean, that's my advice, but you know, kids are going to do what they're going to do. But yeah, there's just so much distraction today. So it really is, to me, it's the most important thing is to show them to get back to center, to get back to center, because none of these things matter unless we make them matter. And once you really get that, and you've got to internalize it, like you want to realize it. It's one thing to say it, to understand it, you know, mentally understand it, but it's a whole different thing to actually embody it and realize it and know, like, no, everything's okay. Everything's actually okay exactly as it is in this moment. You know, and I always like to, my husband and I always say, like, advantage. Even if something goes wrong, or if we label something as wrong, we catch ourselves as quickly as possible and say advantage. There's an advantage here. We might not know it now, but we know it's leading us in the right direction. And as long as you sort of keep yourself headed in that direction, pointing towards what it is that you want, you know, pointing towards your happiness, your peace of mind, things have a way of working themselves out. So you want to stay on track with that. You want to make your happiness, your peace of mind, your wholeness the most important thing. And when you make that your North Star, things seem to work out. We just need to get out of our way.
Yeah. Taking a little sidestep, I want to ask you, what's this 3PGC? What's
okay, PGC so the, yeah, so of- the three principles. So both my husband and I we've studied many different modalities, but the foundation of what we share is the three principles. And there's a global organization, which is really beautiful. So if you're a three principles practitioner, there's an organization so you can like tap into a colleague, and which is fantastic. So it's like a coaching, you know, group. But the three principles, it's actually the physics behind our psychology. So it's the foundation. So there was a gentleman named Sidney Banks who had an eighth grade education, and he was a welder, and he was about 40 years old. He literally had an enlightenment experience, and you can go read about him. His name is Sidney Banks. And in this enlightenment experience, he literally saw the physics behind our psychology. So let me back up. William James is the father of psychology. And he said, if anybody ever discovers the physics behind our psychology, that's the answer. Well, Sidney Banks did. And he actually, with an eighth grade education, ended up teaching the physicists at MIT this understanding. So this guy, you know, you couldn't say there was no way that he would have known this, because this just wasn't his direction or something that he would have learned in school. So he had this enlightenment experience, and he saw that our entire human experience is made of these three principles. So the first principle is mind, which is the energy behind the system. So there's something that makes the grass grow. There's something that makes a baby grow in a woman's belly. And there's something that makes an acorn become an oak tree. There's an energy that's running the system, right? We can't deny that. It's here, right? Consciousness. Consciousness is our level of awareness. So if we're unconscious, we're not aware, right? But we have levels of awareness. So for instance, when our mind is when our bandwidth is restricted, we're in a very low state of consciousness. When we're in a low state of consciousness, we're in blame, fear, doubt, all of those yucky feelings. You know, imagine the difference between being in the basement, right? It's like being in the basement, no windows. Well, you have access to nothing. But if you go up to the fifth floor, you know, suddenly you see, oh, wait a second, I'm in a neighborhood. I had no idea when I was in the basement because I couldn't see anything. And then you get back on the elevator, you go to the penthouse. Let's pretend you're in New York. And, you know, suddenly you're in the penthouse and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm on an island. There's the Hudson River. Holy moly, I had no idea. You didn't know while you were in the basement. So there's levels of consciousness, right? There's levels of awareness. And thought is a principle. And what we don't realize is that we take our thinking very seriously, but it's actually like the ticker on CNBC. If we just let it go by, it's going to keep going by. Our problem is we get very locked into our thinking and we take it very seriously, but What we don't know is that we are actually the meaning makers, right? So I'm giving you a very quick scenario, but when you put together mind, consciousness, and thought, it's how we actually experience the world. And when you understand this, the world isn't so scary because you see, all I'm doing is looking, giving meaning to thought in the moment. And based on my level of consciousness, I'm going to feel different about the situation. So a quick example is you come home from a busy day at work and your house is a mess and your spouse has been home all day. Well, if you're already coming home in a bad mood and the house is a mess, that's going to be a really big problem, right? Here's another scenario. You've had the best day ever. You've just gotten a promotion. You hit your goal weight. Your best friend took you out to lunch. You just, had the most amazing day ever. And you come home and the house is a mess. You want to celebrate. You don't care that the house is a mess. You're like, hey, let's clean this up together and let's go out and celebrate. Same scenario, very different experience of it. Because it depends on our level of consciousness, our level of awareness, and what we're giving meaning to. So that's the operating system. That's the blueprint. It's really important to understand that blueprint because then you see that you are creating your reality. You're creating it.
Can I simplify it as far as just saying it's a mindset? You could control your feelings. Like you said, you've had a great day, you go home and something's terrible there. You have your choice. You can either feel bad or you can feel great. And that's the same. If you had a bad day at work and you go home and the dinner's on the table and everything's beautiful, you again have a choice. You can either be that grumpy person or you can be that happy person. So it's a mindset.
And when you see the temporary nature of your experience, that's the whole thing. Everything is temporary. When you understand the temporary nature of it, life isn't so scary. You can see the silver lining. You can see that you get to choose what you continue to put your attention towards.
Can I do this as you can all experience this? Ah, the aha moment. So this could have been that aha moment, like, oh, I get it.
I hope so. I hope so because it is a game changer. When you really, really, really look in this direction, it is a game changer. And with everything that's going on in the world, I encourage everybody to look in this direction because, again, what we focus on grows. So if we can, the more people that we can talk to help them elevate their level of consciousness, all boats rise with the tide and all the crazy can't live. It can't live in the positive, good energy. It can't live there. So that's why this conversation is the most important conversation that we can have.
Yeah. So jumping back to kids,
Yes.
since you've had great experience and a great love for all things young, all kids running around, can you point to any handful of things that are making it so difficult for them in their lives right now? I know we kind of touched on certain things, but is there something that really stands out that you see in kids that are making their lives more difficult or making their lives for themselves more difficult?
Yes, they put so much pressure on themselves. That's what I'm really seeing. It's like so much pressure. Like I work with a lot of young adults. So, the young adults, like they're in college or, they're maybe just graduating. They feel so much pressure to like already have the job, to already be the person, to be making a certain amount of money, and a lot of times to do something that they really don't want to do, but they feel like they have to because it's the right thing to do. I'll please somebody if I do this. But the truth is, if they follow their joy and their passion, the world will rise up to it. They will. If you follow your joy and your passion, the world must mirror that back to you. So I see so much pressure on kids. There's so much anxiety because they've just created this scenario of, I have to have this done yesterday instead of being present in the moment. That's the big problem. Nobody's present. Everybody's either ruminating over the past or ruminating over what the future could be instead of just being here now. And that's a big problem.
Yes. And again, I have to throw out there, everything that we're saying goes for anybody in any age bracket. This can be what you're experiencing. So even though we're saying kids, young adults don't think that that's all we're talking about. So
People ask me who I work with, and I'm like, well, if you're breathing, this is good to know. This is good stuff to know if you're breathing. So, and again, it's universal. When we talk to kids, we'll use stories and scenarios that they can relate to. If we're talking to adults, we use stories and scenarios that they can relate to. That's the only difference. If we're talking to a business, we use stories and scenarios that the business can relate to. It's the same. The conversation is the same. It's how do I use the operating system to my advantage? How do I have
yes.
less suffering in my life? Less suffering and more joy.
Yeah, absolutely right on that. Now, a couple of things here is I if you, like you're saying, if you follow your passion, you'll succeed. My belief is follow your passion. But I think also a lot of times, this time I'm going to say younger people, kids, teenagers, they may have this false passion or dream because they see somebody in something else. And you have to understand that that is not really, this sounds bad because it's somebody else, a third party saying, but that really may not be your passion and your dream. It's because you are looking at it and you're saying, I want to emulate, I want to be like that. And which can be a danger because then I think kids will start saying, I'm not going to do that because I want to do that. How do they, how does one get that out of their mind or differentiate? You know, that's great to have that as a fun, a passion, if you want to call it that, whatever we want to call it, but find your true self.
That's it. You find there's a difference between following the ego, which, is sort of always in competition with itself, right? And your heart. And you know the difference. You know the difference. You just have to get quiet. You just have to get quiet.
That's a wide, broad spectrum, but if that is something very good. What you said is you have to get quiet, and I understand what you mean by that. You do. You have to clear the noise of yourself, listen to your inner self, listen to what you are saying inside, and you will know. And it's not to say that it's bad and don't do that ego thing, because that I think that can also help you possibly learn to set goals or give you inspiration to do something. So we're not saying don't do that.
So here's the thing. We want to use the ego as our servant, not the master.
See, you've got the great ways of saying it.
Thank you.
But it is all so true. And I like what you just said is use your ego as your servant. It's that is there to help you. So but understand the difference. And yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Now, oh, go ahead. It seemed like you might have had a thought
I was
coming.
just going to say we have all the tools to have a wonderful life, regardless of what our current circumstances are. We just want to learn to use the operating system to our advantage. That's it.
Yeah, it's as simple as we're making it sound right now. It is easy, but it's also difficult at the same time. And I'm coming back to, I think that we as individuals make it more difficult on ourselves.
Yeah. Well, let me say to you, it's not easy. You have to be devoted to look in this direction. You have to be willing to quiet the noise and make quieting the noise a top priority and really be focused on making this front and center. So it's simple, the idea is simple. But it's not easy because we're trained in the other direction. So we really must make an effort to make this understanding top priority, to make that shift in your life.
Well, that's the other thing is making the effort, investing in oneself. And a lot of times we don't want to, whether that's monetarily or time-wise, we don't want to invest in ourselves. And that's because you alluded to the fact earlier too that, we've become this society of immediacy, especially the younger people. We want it yesterday. We see it, we want it. Well, how come I don't have it? How come it didn't come to me easy? How come it's not here in my hands? It's investment. And yes, you're right about I keep saying it's easy. The only reason I call it easy is oftentimes, young or old, we know what we have to do or supposed to do, but we don't do it. Because we often hear people say, well, you have the answer. Why didn't you do it? Yeah.
Yeah. We are creatures of habit. So, you know, if we're used to rolling in a certain way, we're used to showing up in the world in a certain way, we're used to patterns, unless we decide to make a change, we will just continue to repeat the same patterns.
Yeah. Habits and change that habit. Once again, I just want to really point out that people can go to shifthappens.global to get more information on yourself, on Andrea and your husband, your organization, what you could do, your, can I call it mentoring, everything that you do globally.
Yes, that's our vision, you know. Yeah, we have programs, online programs for teens and families, and we have a membership, and there's lots of fun ways to stay in touch with us. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook and LinkedIn and all that fun stuff. But just stay, no matter what, stay in the conversation. Make this conversation a top priority because it will change your life. Absolutely.
And this is part of that, what we're saying, investment. Invest in this, which is you.
Yes, that's it. You know, it's amazing. We're so happy to like buy a new pair of shoes or go out to dinner, but you ask somebody to invest in their own personal growth and they're like, well, I don't have money for that, but they have money. You know what I mean? It's the most important investment you'll make. The most important investment you'll make. Make it in yourself. Make it in your happiness, your peace of mind. Make it in understanding yourself better.
Absolutely.
Because then going out to dinner is even more fun and the new shoes even more fun, you know?
Yeah. Andrea, this has been enlightening. It's been fantastic. I'm not a kid, but I've learned a lot.
Yay. I'm glad. This was so fun. Thank you for having this beautiful platform to share truth. It's beautiful, and I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.